From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, on the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary, we ponder the meaning of a name that only in a biblical sense expresses an identity, but allows us to refer to the person with evocative, to have an I-thou relationship with someone. This Feast of the Holy Name of Mary, celebrating the fact that we can have that personal relationship with the woman that God the Father chose to be the mother of his Son, and that same Son from the cross chose to be our mother, that we can have that intimate relationship, calling on her not by some type of formal title, but calling on her in an interpersonal, tender way. This Feast of the Holy Name of Mary started in Spain in 1513. But much like we have the Feast of the Holy Rosary, which we'll celebrate next month, which was to mark the victory in the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. So this feast was extended to the entire church in 1683. The day after, by Mary's intercession, Jan Sobieski, in the Battle of Vienna, saved Europe from being overrun by Muslims. And so the Pope wanted the entire church to recognize whose prayers it was through whom Christian Europe was saved. And so since that time, the church has been celebrating this great feast. The Pope wanted this not just to be something that would be retrospective, looking back to a battle in Austria, but to spur us to continue to pray to Mary in all our needs, because she who proved herself faithful in 1571, she who proved herself faithful in 1683, you don't need me to go through all of history, all the way back to the image of Salus Populi Romani and so many of the other images of Our Lady, the one who proves herself ready to hasten to our needs at all times is still ever invocable, and the church wants us to invoke her for miracles big and small, for things ordinary and extraordinary. The Lord wants us to have that type of personal relationship with her, to call her upon her by her holy name. At the same time, he wants us to ponder our name, how the Lord wants our name similarly to be holy. You know, I love it in the other languages. We don't really do it in English, but I love in the other languages where we refer to as Santissima Maria. Maria Santissima. It's beautiful, most holy name of Mary. But it's also supposed to be Roger Santissimo. It's also supposed to be Elizabeth Great Santissima. Think about that. Today in the Gospel, we see Jesus calling his apostles by name. He'd spent all night in prayer. As dawn hit, and that's what St. Luke's expression means, when day came, first light of dawn, he calls his disciples to them. And despite their evident fatigue, they kind of showing up, and then all of a sudden Jesus does something that they weren't expecting. He chooses 12 to be particularly close to him. This is a mystery of divine election. God really loves us all infinitely. But out of all his sons and daughters, he gives some the vocation to be Christians first, to be his followers first, so that he can form us to help others to come to know him and enter into a personal relationship with him. So out of all the disciples whom he called, he chose these 12. It says he chose them and called them to himself. St. Mark's Gospel says that when he called them to be with him so that he might send them out. Called to train them first by a communion with him so that they could then be sent out to bring others into communion. Out of these 12, he would choose 3 to be even closer to him, to be with him at the specific moments of his life, when he would raise the little daughter of Jairus from the dead, when he would be transfigured among them, when he would sweat blood in the garden. And out of those 3, he would even be more specific and choose one on whom he would build his church in a particular way, even though all 12 were meant to be pillars. The Lord Jesus never ceases to pray, and he's praying for us. And early in the morning, he calls each of us by name. Only 2 out of 7 on the planet are Christians. How lucky we are. Out of all of those, only 440,000 are priests. How unbelievably privileged I am, and humbled. I don't exactly know the figure of religious, but it's still a vast minority. And out of all religious, he called you to be a sister of life, this new community, meant to last until Christ's parousia. What an extraordinary thing. And he chooses you. Just as much as he chose Mary, when we think of that holy name of Mary, how can the words of St. Luke and the Annunciation not echo? That the angel of God was sent by God. The angel was sent by God to a town of Nazareth, to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a woman betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the woman's name was Mary. He didn't say, "Find me any old virgin. Gabriel, get me anybody who will say yes. I just need some type of vehicle for my son for 9 months." No. He called her with all the special characteristics he had prepared her for since the foundation of the world, not to mention since the first moment of her conception. And in a similar way, God chooses us with that same specificity and calls us, as the Good Shepherd always calls, by name. And he treats our name as holy. And that should blow us away each day when we come and we say, "Here I am, Lord, you called me." We see the training Jesus gave. It's constitutive of a disciple and apostle of every age. They went down to a stretch of level ground. People came. And if we know the geography of the Holy Land, this means everywhere. So they're in Galilee, just to the north of Israel. Everybody from Judea in the south, Jerusalem, the capital there in the south, Tyre and Sidon, way to the north. They all came first to hear Jesus. People want to hear Jesus. They want his words. They've been made for it. To be healed of their diseases, both physical and spiritual. Even those tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Jesus has that expulsatory power, stronger than anything else, that subjugates. This beautiful line of St. Luke, again with medical terminology, everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. Jesus similarly wants us, called by him, to be with him in such a way that he can send us out with him within, so that we can echo Christ's own words, so that through us he might heal others, so that through us they might receive what they need to be freed from the devil's clutches, so that in touching us they might touch his mystical body, because there's power there. St. Paul was someone who heard the voice of Jesus calling him by name, Saul, Saul. And he said he was a chosen vessel to bring his gospel to the Gentiles. We see how Paul was doing that in his letter to the church of Colossae, written while he was in prison. He was instructing them to grow in the faith the same way he had been helping others to grow, the same way that the church always needs to help people grow. Reminds them that as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, and they have, they received the gift of faith, they received him in Holy Communion, they received him in baptism. As you received the Lord, walk in him. Walk is always the biblical term to live morally, because our faith is a journey. It's never a stay exactly where you are, don't change, don't move. It's always a come, follow me. It's always a go to all the nations, proclaim the gospel. Walk in him. Rooted in him and built upon him, firm in the faith you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I don't know how many of you were in World Youth Day in Madrid in 2011, but this was the theme of World Youth Day in Madrid. Rooted in Christ. That we actually go deep into Christ. It's not superficial. It's like Psalm 1. We plant ourselves in the living water so that we give fruit in all seasons. Unlike that chaff which is blown away, that has no roots. Built upon him who is the cornerstone, so that we can become true living stones. That we structure our entire existence on the rock who Christ is and on his word, so that no matter whether it's Hurricane Harvey or Hurricane Irma or Hurricane Satan, we will not be blown away. Firm in the faith you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Firm in the faith that we continue to solidify ourselves by this gift. And the way we are is we recognize what an extraordinary treasure is, so that we overflow in thanksgiving for this extraordinary privilege. St. Paul then goes on to describe how the Colossians were being captivated by an empty, seductive philosophy according to the tradition of men, according to the elemental powers of the world, not according to Christ. That's the Gnosticism we've been talking about since Saturday. And he wanted to reinforce their faith in Christ, who took on our nature so that we could become divine. That's why he goes through all the rest. That's what makes sense of it. In him dwells the fullness of the deity. Bodily, he really has a body. It's not just a phantasm, because nature is good, not evil. You share in this fullness with him, Christ in you, as we heard yesterday. In him you were circumcised, not by the hand of man, but the circumcision of Christ in your hearts. You were buried with him in baptism. You were raised with him through power, through faith in the power of God. Even when you sinned, when you were dead in transgressions, he brought you to life along with him. This is the Lord who calls us. This is the Lord who unites us to himself. This is the Lord who sends us out, rooted in him, built upon him, firm in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving, so that others in meeting us might come to be touched by him. Today, as we come forward to root and build ourselves anew in him in Holy Communion, let us call upon the most holy name of Mary, so that our Amen today might be a full echo of her fiat. Let's call to mind all the intentions we have for the big and the small, and entrust them to her, just as the Church did in 1683. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.